We'll ride the April 26th, 2013 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this rain report. Just a reminder that these programs may be transmitted on amateur radio via a Creative Commons license. See therainreport.com for details. Now to this week's program. The April 25th Amateur Radio Newsline wrote, Riding the Short Waves, Exploring the Magic of Amateur Radio is a new book by author Don Keith, N4KC, that contains material of special interest to newcomers to ham radio and those thinking of joining its ranks. This includes easy-to-understand chapters on antennas, choosing a first station, and a tour of the amateur radio high-frequency bands. There are also short fictional and satirical pieces that use humor or drama to show the various facets of the hobby. Rain's founder-producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, spoke with Don Keith about his new book and about how he got started on his writing career.
Well, I spent 22 years in broadcasting. I did about everything you can do in radio broadcasting, and then I went to work for a company that was developing computer software for radio and TV stations and ad agencies. They put me on the road with a laptop computer. And if you're on the road with a laptop computer at night after you've completed all your appointments, you can either hang out in the bar, you can watch bad television, or you can finally sit down and write that novel that's been rattling around in your head all these years. And that's what I did. I eventually found an agent that was willing to look at it. He said it was not worth selling. Go back and write something else. I did. He read that. He said it's not worth selling. Go back and write something else. I sent him my third manuscript. I was too dumb to quit. He said, I know who will buy this. He sold the book within 2 days, and I had my first novel published back in 1995. And that novel is still in print today. The Forever Season. It's the story of a young high school football player, a linebacker that loves to knock down quarterbacks and make them bleed, but he also loves romantic period poetry and Shakespeare. He wants to go to college and be a true scholar athlete. That's what he did, against a lot of odds. It was fiction. It won my state's Library Association Fiction of the Year Award. It was picked up by the University of Alabama Press in their very prestigious Books About the South series, and they've kept it in print now ever since 1996.
But you had two failures before you got there, which is not unusual.
The two biggest mistakes most would-be novelists or book writers of any kind make. The first thing is they quit after the first one. They tend to massage that one for years. I do a lot of speaking to writer groups and writer conferences. Inevitably, you'll have somebody stand up who's been working on that novel for 15 years. You know, at some point, you got to let go of it. The second mistake a lot of people make is they try to either send it directly to a publisher, which is almost impossible to get a legitimate, especially the larger publishing houses, to look at unagented material. You have to have an agent. But they'll send the book to an agent. The agent will send back that standard, does not fit our needs, refusal letter, and they'll get discouraged and quit. Agents just don't understand how they work. The typical agent only works with a relatively small universe of potential publishing houses. And most agents specialize and only work with editors that publish only certain kinds of materials. You really could have the next Harry Potter series and an agent would turn it down just because he doesn't know anybody that he works with that's looking for that particular kind of book at that particular time. So you have to continue doing it. It's a numbers game. It's a lot easier now than it used to be when you were sending out printed pages. Now you can do it all by email. But if writers will look for agents that handle the kind of material that they write, they're a lot more likely to find somebody who will take them on.
Have you been using the same agent through your career?
I actually did, up until last year, and my agent retired. So I've been in the process of looking for another agent. I've actually got one now that handles a series of books that I've done with a former nuclear submarine skipper. These are fiction. They're submarine thrillers, very much in the Tom Clancy mode. My old agent sold the first book, but since he's retired, we took the second book to a new agent, and he sold that. That particular book, by the way, has been optioned as a major motion picture and is in pre-production right now, and we hope it's a film next year. The book itself is called Firing Point. The movie will be called Hunter Killer, and we'll re-release the book under that title when the movie comes out.
How many books have you had published?
If you count the regular publishers and a couple that I've self-published, we're up to 27 now.
You have found ways of weaving amateur radio into some of those books.
I've never tried to force it in there. As much as I love the hobby, and I've been licensed 52 years, I've been active about 40 of those 52 years. I love the hobby, and I would love to work it into every book, but you can't. But you remember I told you I'd written two books before I got the third one published. Well, that second book that nobody wanted to do, I took that manuscript and reworked it all the way through. And it really became my second published novel, a book called Wizard of the Wind, which is set in the world of broadcasting. And one of the heroes in that book is a ham radio operator who happens to be an engineer for the broadcast chain that are fictionalized in the book. And he really does some heroic things using his skills as a ham radio operator and broadcast engineer toward the end. That's really the only way I've actually been able to work too much ham radio. I did a biography of a couple of radio personalities who are syndicated across the country. Fellows are named Rick and Bubba, the Rick and Bubba Show. It's on about 70 radio stations around the country. And Bubba is KJ4JJ, so I got to bring in ham radio into that biography as well. But finally, I decided I wanted to write the ham radio book. The first thing any author has to do is, who am I writing for? Who do I hope will not only put the cost of this book on a charge card, but we'll also get something from the book. So you really have to target who that potential audience is. And I felt there was a need for a book for people who are just on the verge of either committing to ham radio or walking away from it. So I had to think about what's keeping people from entering the hobby. What would it take to kind of push them over the cliff? The second target, I've met so many people who said, yeah, I got my license back whenever, and I bought an HT, and I tried to talk through the 2-meter repeaters, and I let my license lapse, or I never have been back on the air or whatever. The third group I would like to talk to are the old timers who are very negative toward the future of ham radio. They see a lot of youngsters come in who may have different interests from the ones they have. And I wanted to kind of win them back and show them that the newcomers, the new blood is only increasing the strength of our hobby. And the final target audience are the guys who have been around for a while, who love the hobby as much as I do, and they wanted something that they could do a little evangelization, where they could tell other people about the hobby and what it has to offer. So with that in mind, I took a series of articles and some short stories I had written, and I compiled those into a book, and that's the current ham radio book, Riding the Short Waves, Exploring the Magic of Amateur Radio.
How many of us got into ham radio when we were in our teens? Who knows why?
What makes anybody choose the hobby or pastime or career or the person they marry? And I think there is something genetic there. You can also even make the point that so many hams get into the hobby because their father or uncle were hams. I think that's more a matter of exposure, not necessarily genetically getting passed down. But that was my case. My dad was not a ham. He was a television repairman. He had a shortwave receiver, and we used to sit around and listen to the hams and listen to Sputnik and all sorts of stuff like that. And the bug bit. I even say in the first chapter of the book that I wish we could all be better at explaining what it is that attracts us to the hobby. I guess about all we can expect to do is tell people all the various things that the hobby offers. The advantages of going ahead and taking that test, getting a license, getting on the air and seeing what it's all about. If we can do that, I think that's about all we can do. The hobby is not for everybody. Not everybody is intended to be an amateur radio operator. Not everybody's going to be a good CW op once they get in. Not everybody's going to be a DXer. Not everybody's going to be a rag chewer either. But if people are aware of all the different facets of the hobby and how it can tie into other interests, then I think we would do ourselves a favor and recruit a lot more people to the hobby.
When you think about putting amateur radio into a book, how difficult is it for you to separate yourself as an author from yourself, a lifelong ham?
Well, I could answer that generically by saying it's impossible for me to separate myself from what I'm writing. I wish I could sometimes. I often compare writing, especially fiction, to running naked through the mall because you're literally exposing your innermost thoughts and beliefs and a lot of other things. My wife reads some of the things I write sometimes and she says, wait a minute, what were you thinking when you wrote that? So it's hard to separate yourself.
You're listening to a conversation ham radio author Don Keith, N4KC, had with Rains Hap-Holly, KC9RP, about Don's latest book entitled Riding the Shortwaves, Exploring the Magic of Amateur Radio. Before we conclude Hap's interview with Don, here's a heads up that Rain, the amateur radio newsline, and the 160-meter Gateway Radio newsletter will be holding forth in booth 329 at the Dayton Hamvention May 17th through 19th. That's booth 329.
Going back to including ham radio into a novel or some of the historical nonfiction I've done, that sort of thing, I don't think you can crowbar it in there. As much as I love the hobby, I couldn't write a novel, one of the thrillers, the submarine thrillers. Ham radio doesn't play a role in those at all. And there's no way I could crowbar it in there unless I just made a character just peripherally be a ham, but that would be forcing the issue. Once I write about, like in The Wizard of the Wind, which is the book about a ham who was a broadcast engineer, the whole theme of that book is what's happened to broadcasting over the last 20 years or so since the FCC dramatically changed ownership rules so that major corporations could own just about every radio signal in a market. I think it's been a detriment to the whole medium, and that's kind of the theme of the book. A young man grows up fascinated by the magic of radio communication and the music that's being played, especially the rock and roll music in the 50s and early 60s. And then he gets contaminated by money and goes the way some of the big broadcast groups have gone today and loses sight of the magic of what brought people to the medium in the first place. Of course, he sees the light at the end with some help from that broadcast engineer and ham.
Let's talk more about your new book. Did you approach it from the beginning, thinking this time you were going to incorporate ham radio into it, or like so many of your other books, you had to wait until you got into it before you decided whether or not it would fit somewhere?
Well, I knew this book was going to be about ham radio. I knew it was going to be for that target that I talked about earlier, the people who are thinking about entering the hobby, but they're not sure that it's kept up with the times. There's a perception out there that with Facebook and Twitter and the internet and chat rooms and smartphones, why in the world do guys sit around with headphones on and send Morse code? I don't think I want to be a part of anything that ancient. That's who the primary target is. I've seen so many people who get interested in the hobby and walk away from it, or they get interested, they get the license, they get an HT, they got the rubber duck antenna and the 5 watts, and they can't even hit the local repeater with a reliable signal. So they say, hey, why do I need this? I've got a smartphone. I can talk all over the world. They don't realize all the other aspects of the hobby that are out there. It's not just about talking all over the world, although that's certainly a big part of it. That magic, once it gets you hard, and it does not let go. If I can get the right people to read that book, then I think we can recruit a lot of people to the hobby. And that's kind of the way I started. I had written some articles. These are non-technical. One of them is the top 5 get-on-the-air-quick antennas, because I see so many people who are hesitant to get on HF because they're afraid of putting up a 80-foot tower and a 4-element beam. You don't have to do that. There are a lot of ways you can get on the air with a reliable signal with a much simpler antenna. I talk a little bit about antenna and feed line theory because that seems to baffle so many people, but I do it in a way that I think anybody can understand. If I understand it, anybody can understand it. That's what I try to bring to it. But also, in addition to those articles, I've got a number of little short stories in there that use drama or humor, pathos, you name it, to talk about some of the aspects of the hobby that people maybe haven't thought of. Those elements of the book are the ones that get the most comment and reaction. And I'm thankful to say all of it has been positive so far. I don't think anybody's ever done anything exactly like this, so it's new. But hey, I write fiction. I love ham radio. And if I can combine those two into those short stories, then I think I've maybe done some good for the hobby.
Do you own a smartphone or an iPhone?
Yes, I do.
One might ask, well, if you got all this technology in a smartphone or an iPhone, why would you go back to a technology that is old and think that people actually would be interested in reading a book about that technology?
Hey, it's actually 100 years old. We're celebrating our 100th anniversary as ham radio this year. Okay, take that smartphone, pick it up. Pick any area code anywhere in the world you want to dial. Dial a number. If you can get somebody to answer, which is probably not a very good likelihood, but let's say somebody does answer, I want you to strike up a conversation with that person that you feel comfortable with, and you can sit there and talk for an hour and a half about common ground, that you will actually dial up somebody who is a member of the same tribe you are. In ham radio, anybody you talk to on the air is going to be a member of your tribe. You're going to have that much common ground to start with. I meet some of the most fascinating people in the world on amateur radio. I might be talking to a politician in Australia. I might be talking to an astronaut or a rock star. I could be talking to a retiree at a Florida retirement home. You never know who you're going to get when you get on the air, but you will have common ground with that person. I hear people say, okay, why should I try to talk around the world when I can do that on my smartphone? Why do you play golf? You could just walk over and drop the ball in the hole, pick the ball back up out of the hole, walk down to the next hole, drop it in. Why do you go fishing? You can buy fish at the store. There's a certain magic about catching that dinner. There's a certain magic about hitting that golf ball three or four times before you get it in the hole, five or six or eight times if you're me. But there is also that magic in being able to go fishing on the short waves and to be able to bring in a conversation from around the world with a radio station that you put together. Maybe you built the antenna from scratch as well, but you at least were able to get the license, put that station on the air, and be able to talk around the world or bounce a signal off the moon or off the tail of a comet. Who knows? That, to me, is the magic of the hobby. And I don't think people realize how other interests can be tied into ham radio. If you're an RVer or a camper or a hiker, to be able to take a radio with you and sit there in a campground and talk to people around the world, or to go to a summit someplace, get on the air and allow other amateurs to contact you and be part of summits on the air or islands on the air, which are two big areas of interest for ham radio operators. To be able to do that sort of thing and combine it with stamp collecting or any number of other things that you might be interested in. Computers. Yeah, computers are a wonderful thing, but they have actually contributed to the hobby. A lot of our radios today are software-defined radios, where if you are a radio code writer, you can actually write your own code and make it available to other hams around the country and around the world to be able to make the radios work better. You can control your radio via the internet. Ham radio has always led the field, even from way back in broadcasting, where the very early broadcasters were ham radio operators, all the way to today, where hams are putting balloons into space and they're putting satellites into space and leading in technology. Plus, you know what? I hadn't even thought of this, and I mentioned it in the book. Quite often, if you're a youngster and you're not sure what your career is going to be, ham radio can lead you into a career in communications or broadcasting or electronics or computers. And anything that can help you land a good technical career somewhere down the road is a plus in my book.
Don, the Dayton Hamvention is coming up May 17, 18, and 19. Are you going to be there? And if so, where will people find you?
Yes, I will be there. I'm looking forward to it. It's been a while since I've been to Dayton, but I will be on Thursday the 17th at the QRP ARCI Hotel for their 4 days in May event. And I'll be set up there somewhere in the general area of the group is gathering. And I'll be there all day on that Thursday. And then I also have at least one and maybe more events at the ARRL Expo location inside the Hera Arena there. I don't have the exact times on that, but it will be posted well ahead of time. And I hope anybody will come by. No purchase necessary. I'd just like to meet you. But the book will be available there for sale at the ARRL booth.
Will you be doing anything specifically at the 4 days in May ARCI event?
Actually, no, other than just talking about the book. I've got a couple of chapters in there on QRP, so I'll be talking about that with various folks. I will be gathering stories and information because for two reasons. One is because Rich Arlen, K7SZ, who was the former QRP editor for CQ Magazine and who wrote the ARRL's book on QRP, he and I are going to be there together, and he's been evangelizing to me about the wonders of QRP. I think I've finally gotten the bug. I've actually turned the power down on my transceiver and been making some contacts at 5 watts, so I'm going to learn a little bit more about maybe some kit building. I'm really interested in maybe doing some kit building and a transceiver that I could take on some of my hikes and adventures.
And that concludes ham radio author Don Keith, N4KC's conversation with Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP. You'll find Don's new book, Riding the Shortwaves, Exploring the Magic of Amateur Radio, is available in both electronic and paper formats from Amazon and booksellers everywhere. If and when it becomes available in an audio format, we'll let you know. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2013 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for all those connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at The Rain Report, www.therainreport.com. See you at Hamvention in booth 329.